Hey, good morning. Great afternoon. How about that? I've got a friend. I was warned that good morning is hard not to say, and I do that every time, too. So good to be with you guys. I was telling my son Michael that I've never been to Jackson. I've been to Mississippi many, many times, many, many places, but I've never been to Jackson. So it's an honor to be here with you this morning. And I was telling Michael, I was like, I think I know five or six people in the church, and I think that turned out to be right. I've known Sydney. I appreciate the introduction, Sydney. It was so great to have Sydney last week in Memphis, and people enjoyed his fellowship, his word that he delivered. And we were talking about it at midweek, what it's like to be, you know, what's it like to be a true friend in the kingdom. And so hopefully, you know, something I'll say, or God more specifically will say through me, will catch your heart, and then you'll be able to share about it. I don't know if y'all have all together on Wednesdays or in groups or how you do that, but hopefully it'll carry on after you leave here today. I want you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 8. The message is going to be a little different in the content. It's going to be, of course, biblical, but it's not a subject we talk about, in my opinion, nearly enough in our family and churches.
Amen.
So I'm going somewhere that we need to go to. Okay. And my lesson comes in the form of a question. The title comes in the form of a question. Hurt or healed? And then I'll ask you, well, actually, I won't ask you. I'll say, the choice is yours. It's a statement, hurt or heal. The choice is yours. But what do I mean by all that? Well, I think you'll see as we go, hurt people,
yeah.
But people that have been healed, they have a heart that wants to help others heal too.
Wow.
Isn't that what we do? Isn't that what we do when we say Jesus is Lord, right? So, I want you to keep this in mind, and we're going to pray here in just a second, that whenever you came in to God's family, for some of you, maybe that was a few months ago. For some of you, maybe that was a year ago, a couple years ago. For some of you, maybe it was a lot longer. Maybe like me, you've got a couple decades under your belt, maybe more. And that's good, right? No matter how long ago that was, Paul said, you're a new creation. And you may not feel like that's all that new or that recent, but it still holds true. You're a lot different than you were before you were baptized, right? Amen. Give God glory to that. Matter of fact, let's pray on that right now. God, thank you so much. Our words, I'm sure, fall short now, but we want you to know how grateful we are that you redeemed us. God, thank you so much. Loving us first. Thank you for not giving up on us. Thank you for not treating us as our sins deserve. Thank you for your everlasting mercy and grace that not only you extended to us when we were searching, you continue to extend it to us now. God, help us to be extenders of love, grace, and mercy to our brothers and sisters, but also to the lost. Father, there is no one like you. The things that cause us stress, the things that cause us anxiety, they don't form one bead of sweat on your forehead. And they don't cause your throne to move one centimeter from the left to the right. You're fully in charge, right where only you can be, and we praise you for that, God. God, thank you for the brothers and sisters in Jackson. Thank you for their love for you. Thank you for their love for each other, their love for their community, and their perseverance, God, continue to bless them. Father, be with us now as we look at your word. May we walk away a little different today, changed, maybe just a little bit more like your son, and not forget what we learned, but put it into action. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So, I've got a couple of questions I want to ask you, and be honest with the show of hands. Just in everyday life, how many of you have been hurt? Not physically. We've all had things happen like on the playground or whatever. But how many of you have been hurt mentally, emotionally or spiritually. I would imagine that's everybody at one time or another, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now we take it to the next level. Same question. How many of you have been hurt emotionally, mentally, spiritually? I'm not talking about the Tri-County Church per se, but in your Christian walk.
Oh,
yeah. I think the same amount of hands are up, almost. That's hard, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
How many of you have hurt someone? That's a lot of hands, guys.
Yeah.
We're flawed, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yep.
How many of you have ever intentionally hurt someone? Thank you for being honest. How many of you thought about hurting someone? Real. We got real quick in here, didn't we? How many of you still want to be helpers in God? Did I say turn to Luke 8?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. You're already there, see?
Yep.
And usually when we go to Luke 8, we look at the parable of the sower. But when we skip right to the parable of the sower, which we're not reading today, we tend to miss the jewel that is in the first three verses that we're going to read here. After this, Jesus traveled from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household. Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. Let's stop that. This is important. Jesus included women in his mission.
Yeah, that's right.
Women were important to Jesus. In Jewish culture, women were not supposed to learn from rabbis. We sometimes forget Jesus was indeed a rabbi, right? But Jesus did not play by the culture's rules. He did not. These women, Scripture says, supported Jesus out of their own resources.
Yep.
They owed a great debt to Jesus, like we do, right? Because he had driven demons out of some of them and healed others. Have we been spiritually healed?
We have.
They were grateful to Jesus. Are we still grateful, church?
Amen.
I love the story of the 10 lepers in Luke chapter 17. We're not going to read it today. But I love it, and I'm challenged by it, quite frankly, because how many of the 10 lepers, that they were all healed, but how many returned to Jesus to simply say thank you? Intelligently, that sounds good, but I promise you, without going too deep into it, you're going to be challenged by that in a few months in early November. Wherever you fall politically, you're going to be challenged with the gratitude part.
Yeah.
Because your heart will show wherever you're at politically. See, I'm not going to go there other than what I'm saying. But will your love for Jesus show more than anything else?
Amen.
So I want to read you directly from a book called, and I do recommend this obviously because I'm reading from it, called Hurt People, Hurt People. And it's several years old, And it's by an author by the name of Dr. Sandra Wilson. And she's talking about hope and healing for herself and her relationships. And I think it applies to us as well. Not necessarily her exact story. But this is her story, and I'll read. When my mother married my father, she did not know that he was a bigamist and an embezzler, but he was. When he learned that my mother was pregnant with me, he tried repeatedly to prevent my birth by insisting that my mother abort me. When she refused, he tried to induce miscarriage. When that failed, he tried several times to kill her and me in what would look like a gun cleaning accident. Before he could succeed, God intervened and federal authorities caught up with him and put him in prison. Consequently, I've never met, seen, spoken to, viewed a phone of, or seen even a scrap of handwriting from my biological father. Decades before single motherhood became fashionable, my mother had a fatherless infant to care for in a place thousands of miles from family and friends. At the hospital where I was born, where she worked as a physical therapist, rumors spread about my illegitimacy. Shortly before my mother's death in 1990, I got a deeper understanding of her shame and humiliation when she told me about putting her marriage license on the main hospital bulletin board to silence the rumors. 2 years later, she married the alcoholic stepfather I believe that was my birth father until my mother told me differently when I was 2 years old. She divorced him 3 years later when his alcohol-related violence escalated to life-threatening levels. I'm still missing chunks of my chaotic childhood. For nearly 3 decades, I erased the horror and humiliation of sexual molestation at the hands of a stranger, family friends, and the worst. How could those and many other awful experiences occur when I had an intelligent, well-educated, hard-working mom who loved me very much and loved God even more? Perhaps part of the answer is that my mother herself was deeply wounded by shame. Her unseen wound showed up clearly in an inability to have a healthy, mutually respectful, romantic relationship, resulting in 5 marriages. Now, why do I read you this? Let's not judge Sandra. Because here's what I want to communicate with you today is, remember, we came up out of the water all those years ago, right?
Yeah.
But let me tell you what didn't happen. Your baggage, maybe not exactly like hers, maybe that did hit you a little bit. Maybe you related to some of that. Maybe some of you had less baggage. Maybe you have, some of you have more. It's not a contest. It's not a competition. That baggage came out of the water.
Yep.
Right.
And you just then are starting to acquire the tools to deal with that baggage. You're now sealed with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yes.
You got the Holy Spirit. You got the Word of God.
Right.
You got a personal relationship with Jesus. You got a chance. But you got to use those tools, and sometimes you need more tools.
Yeah.
Okay? But my first point, hurt people hurt people. They do. Turn to John chapter 1. When's the last time you did an inventory of your heart to see what wounds are still there? Because I'm going to be, you may not have me back. Because I'm going to tell you something that's true. You walk in those doors every Sunday morning, afternoon, and you actually are giving the very best you can to God. I don't doubt that one bit. I don't. You haven't dealt with those wounds, you're not giving him your whole heart.
Right.
Because it's still broken.
Yeah.
And the psalmist in Psalm 86 talks about giving God an undivided heart. Guess what? We're not healed. We still have to provide our best. So, in other words, what I'm saying is you're coming here giving the best you think you got. But there might be 20, 30, 40% more you could be giving him when you forgive. John chapter 1. You with me so far? John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. The law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Wow.
Amen.
When Jesus heals us, did he? He did, didn't he?
He
did of sin, that's for sure, right? Truth also becomes evident. We can't ignore this truth. We got some stuff we still got to deal with.
Right.
We don't like to talk about stuff. We don't like to talk about the stuff on our heart. We, especially men, we like to like stuff it, isolate it, minimize it. It happened 20 years ago. I pulled myself up by the bootstraps. It's time to move on. Guess what, brothers? We gotta dig deeper. Because we've got more we can be offering God.
That's right.
If we've been hurt, and maybe that's not you. And if it's not you, say praise God.
Amen.
If it's not you, we need you fully healed to help us. Because my experience has shown me that most people need a little help. I need a lot. And the women in our scripture today, they were healed. They were healed women. Jesus cast demons out of them and healed them of other problems that aren't even named here. See, once they were healed, they gave us a great example. Once they were healed, they wanted to be on the healing team.
Amen.
So much so, they gave out of their own resources. Sister up here giving the contribution talked about doing it out of a grateful heart, right? Sisters in our scripture giving out of a grateful heart.
Amen.
So let's transition to the second point, and we're going to get into Mary Magdalene a little more specific here. Healed people are fully devoted to Jesus. Fully.
Amen.
Jesus has their whole heart. Now, I'm not trying to say anybody here, because there's no one perfect. No. I'm just saying they're calling us to grow more, mature more, heal more. And no one, you can argue, no one superseded Mary Magdalene in her devotion to her master.
Right.
Her name, did you know her name is mentioned 14 times in the New Testament? More than any other woman except Jesus' mom Mary. 14 times. She's mentioned all four of the gospel and in the book of Acts. 8 times her name is listed with the names of other women, and except for the scene at the foot of the cross, her name always leads the list. Important character, what do you say? She was there at the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And she has the unique distinction of not only being the first to see Jesus after his resurrection, but also she was the first to actually spread the good news.
Amen.
Pretty cool role model.
Yeah.
Why? Because her devotion to the Master continued even after he was falsely accused, brutally beaten, and shed his not only saw the silence of Calvary, she heard the silence.
Right?
The mocking, the daunting of the crowd, the hammer, pounding the spikes through Jesus' flesh. The thud of the wooden posts as they were dropped to the ground. The screams of those crucified next to Jesus. And the screams of Jesus himself. She heard Jesus' cries for mercy from the thief on one side of the cross. She heard Jesus promise paradise to the man that believed in his dying hour. She's there for all of that. Can you imagine yourself there? She marveled at Jesus' composure. She marveled at Jesus' heart to say in his worst pain, "Father, forgive them. They know not." I don't know about you guys. I would call up all those 12 legions back in the garden.
Yeah.
I would have been like, "Peter, keep the sword out." Jesus said, "And heal, not the sin." Right? That's who we serve, guys. It's so much different than us, right? Luke tells us here that Jesus had cast out 7 demons out of her. That's amazing, is it not?
Yeah.
7 demons. We can't even fathom that, can we?
No.
And 7 is the number for completion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Mary was no doubt completely controlled by the enemy at this point, before Jesus' healing. Weren't we?
Yep.
Tied up? Confused? No, not confused. We were doing Satan's work. He didn't have to go to work hard on us until we got serious about studying the Bible, did he?
Yes.
I bet every one of you has a story in here about how Satan turned up the heat, pun intended, when you started drawing closer
to
God.
Because
he doesn't want to see that happen. And he still doesn't want to see you close to God. We see people all around us. I don't know about you guys. I hear people praying for the world to get better. And I respect that prayer. I've read the book. It doesn't get better. Right? It gets worse. We have to be ready.
Yeah.
We have to be prepared. It's not going to go back to 2015. It's not going to go back to 2000. Whatever year you want to fill in, 1990. Whatever year you think was the best, it's not going back to that. Now, I'm not telling you not to have faith. I ask people all the time in church, what was the best year? What was your best year as a disciple? I hear it all the time. 1986. 1990. 1997, 2000. You don't hear too much after 2000. But shouldn't the best year spiritually be 2024?
Yeah.
Shouldn't that be where our faith is?
Yeah.
But outside?
Right.
We have to break, that's another lesson. We have to break the kingdom in out there. Not expect for it to be better out there. Okay. Is that a lot? John, just listen to me as I read this for time's purposes. John chapter 8, verse 34 through 36. Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins," that's me, that's you, "is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever."
Amen.
So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. We've been set free. We've been bought with a price. When we get to heaven, right before heaven, when that video is playing to us, luckily, guys, Jesus will be standing next to us. And we will be graded on the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
The blood will cover us.
Praise God.
And even though we don't have the ability to forget, I bet you remember a lot of those sins you committed, right? Not to bask in it, not to glorify it, but you remember how ugly it was. It's good for us to remember sometimes, right?
Yeah.
But God, in the scripture said, God forgets your sins. He forgets them. He eradicates them. He forgets them, but he forgets them. Who does that but God?
We don't have that ability. We remember. We need to remind ourselves.
Third point.
Healed people are humble. Healed people are humble.
Our pride, and I did throw in our, that includes me. Our pride is a hindrance to the intimacy we want with God.
Yeah.
Our pride is a hindrance to serving others.
Yeah.
Mary Magdalene forfeited her pride. Will you? Will I? Will you forfeit your pride to do whatever you're asked to do to serve the body of Christ? Hey, I'll share this with you. You'll remember this. I bet you had to do it. In Nashville, Richard Gore and I were converted. We used to meet at a place called Starwood Amphitheater. And it was a theater that they had for musical shows and plays. And they had an old-fashioned marquee. You had to change the letters with a pole that had a suction cup on the end of it, and the letters were kept in the, you remember this?
Mm-hmm.
The letters were kept in the closet. Some of them were chipped and broken before they had fallen down, and you had to kind of wet the suction cup to get them up there, and that thing was way up there too, probably what, 15 feet high maybe? I don't know, maybe not that high, maybe 12, 15 feet. And I would get asked to change that thing by one of the elders, and I lived an hour away from church at this time. And I'd be like, hey, I'm gonna go to lunch with some disciples, I'm a baby disciple, I want the felt, not a bad thing, right? And I'm being asked to change that thing after church, and in my heart, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I just would grumble. What is that?
Pride.
Mm-hmm.
Pride. Why can't somebody else change it? Why can't somebody that's closer change it? Why can't we be more organized and change it ahead, you know, before church? But you know what? Somewhere along the way, God changed my heart to. And this is simple, but it works, right? To from going from I gotta change this marquee to I get to change this marquee.
Amen.
I'm glad I heard, right? Amen. Okay, let's turn to Mark 9. Y'all still staying with me?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, before we read Mark 9, it's important to note everyone and their cousin knew Mary's act. It was a matter of public record. Aren't you glad yours isn't a public record?
Mm-hmm.
Most of us have a sin record that is secret. Mm-hmm. Now, hopefully that's not entirely true. Hopefully you confess it when you were studying the Bible.
Yeah.
Hopefully, even though it's not as common practice anymore because it's not a sign or whatever we want to give it, and nor should it be, in my opinion. But there are 52 scriptures in the New Testament about one another. And we are supposed to be living this kingdom life together.
Right.
And encouraging and carrying each other's burdens and loving one another. And all that goes with that, right? So hopefully people do know you in this church.
Yeah, yeah.
But Mary had been exposed. Protecting our image. Problematic. Protecting our image is often the cause of our conflict. Okay, Mark chapter 9, verse 33. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What are you arguing about out on the road?" But they kept quiet. Because on the way, they argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." He took a little child, whom he placed among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but one who sent me." Wow. That dispute, brothers and sisters, is still going on today. Where does it come from? Well, I can tell you, but more importantly, The Bible will tell us. Amen. I'll just read it to you. You can jot it down. James chapter 4, verse 1. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from the desires that battle within you? They come right here, guys. They come from recognition. They come from wanting to be first. They come from competition. They come from pride. Our flesh wants recognition.
Yes.
Our flesh wants recognition. But seeking recognition gets in the way of seeking God's will.
Yes, it does.
The individual who is not trying to protect his or her image isn't going to get into this quarrel. They're going to serve. They're going to be meek. They're going to be humble. They're going to be all the things that Jesus described in Matthew 5, also long not. Jesus taught us in a prayer to find a prayer closet so we can pray in secret. He was letting his disciples know that the pattern of religious hypocrites was getting old.
Yeah.
Praying on street corners to be seen by men was getting old. He was correcting improper motives. He was correcting a heart.
That's right.
He's the best at it. Same is true of our giving. Jesus challenges that. Don't let your right hand know what the left hand is doing. He's not speaking literally. He's using hyperbole here, right? But he's teaching us to do our giving like our praying as an act of worship. It's an act of devotion to him, right? When we worry too much about our image, our relationship with God suffers,
right,
and we're not in a position to help other people heal.
Yeah, that's right.
We get in the way.
Okay,
last point. Healed people get involved.
Amen.
Healed people get involved. Now, you know, I don't have time to go into it now, but you know the scripture about taking a splinter out of a speck out of your brother's eye. You who are mature should do this, scripture says. That's fascinating. Because if we're not mature, if we're not loving, if we're not gentle, if we're not healed, guess what? We're going to cause more damage. We're going to shove that thing back in their eye.
Right.
And worse,
right.
I'm sorry, but we've done that.
Mm-hmm.
We've done that because we're flawed and we're hurt. Marriage devotion and lack of image protecting caused her to want to be a part of Jesus' team.
Right.
Mary and other women are part of Jesus' traveling team. Use their means to be involved in the healing process. Now, don't mistake what I'm saying here. They're part of the team, just like we're part of the team.
Right?
Jesus is the one that does the heavy lifting. Jesus is the one that does the healing. Amen?
Yeah.
We just get a front row seat. We get to be on holy ground as he does his thing.
Right?
And last time I checked, all he had was imperfect people to use, and that's us.
Yeah.
So, by his grace and mercy, we get to be used by Jesus.
Amen.
And it's an honor to do so, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You know, it was unheard of in Jesus' day for a rabbi to allow women to be involved in ministry, but that was Jesus' plan. He was revolutionary, he was radical, and he gives all of us an opportunity to share in his work. Yeah. I'm not getting into the whole book. There's different roles, and the Bible lays that out there too. But we all get to participate on the team, right?
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
Just imagine for a minute someone from your favorite sports team, or maybe a group of people you admire, and they call you up. Scott, I've got a front office position for you. Gonna be, you'll never have to worry about money again. The benefits are unbelievable. The retirement is unbelievable. We've got 3 offices on the coast. You can pick which one you're gonna be at. You'll be able to work remote. Sounds like he already does a lot of that. But remote from Maui, maybe, right? Sounds good, right? It's going to be your dream job. You can't say no to it.
I can't put a number on it, but I'll try because I'm wrong. 1,000 times better. 1,000 times better.
And what's great about it, unlike the job that's being offered to Scott, where it's the only job,
we all get to have this position.
Amen.
We all get to participate in some way.
Amen.
And like, yes, I have to go to my sports analogy, right? When you play basketball, it's 5-on-5. The other guys play on the bench. Hey, people are making fun of Bronny James right now. You know, he's probably going to be in the G League. He might be a 10th man, 11th man. But he's going to retire a millionaire if he uses his money wisely, right?
But see, what I'm saying is there's limitations. Only so many players get in the NBA.
Right.
Only 11 on 11 on the football field, right? The rest of the guys, they rotate in and give the guys a breather, right?
But it's not that way on the kingdom.
Matter of fact, there's more people sitting on the sidelines and in the grandstands that God wants on the playing field.
Right.
There's no limit to who can be on the playing field. He wants us all participating.
Amen.
Wow, that's encouraging. Be encouraged by that. How exciting is that? We're on that team. Wow. But here's the twist. When we join Jesus' team, we got to invest.
Yeah.
We give a little bit of money, right? It's supposed to be sacrificial. It's supposed to be from a cheerful heart. But even more than the money, we're supposed to give of our heart too, right?
That's right.
We're supposed to give of our time. Mm-hmm. Supposed to give of our other resources, our home. You know what? If you can't have somebody in your home, sometimes we can't because we have 15 dogs in our house right now. You wouldn't want to come over to our house right now because we wouldn't get to talk about anything. But you know what? I can meet you for coffee. I can meet you for lunch. I can have you come out and see our horse 15 minutes away. When we want to give back, when we're grateful, we'll find a way.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Let's not miss out.
I'm wrapping up.
Let's not miss out on the joy of being on the healing team. You might have to take some steps. If you take the scripture seriously and something that God has said through me has hit you today, take a step towards healing. I don't know what that is for you, but I'll listen. I'm here. I'm not in a rush to get back to Memphis. You know, we're going to lunch. Let's talk. Let's get help for our wounds so we can give God our all that he deserves. Matter of fact, didn't we just read that at the beginning in the welcome? Give God our heart. Our whole heart. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. I think that's the Mark version of what was read, Mark 12. Right? And love your neighbor as you love yourself. And you know what? I'm starting to go down another lesson. If you invite me back, I'll go there. It's a missing commandment we don't talk about. We say there's two commandments, and it's on every other bulletin in America. Love God, love others. But how about the third one in there, the missing commandment, as yourself? We've got wounds. We're not loving ourselves a whole lot. And if we're not loving ourselves a whole lot, we're not loving other people the way God wants us to love. Please take this to heart today. It's important. Okay, so in conclusion, let's remember as we leave here, hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
Just fact. I did it most of my life. I did it as a disciple for a few years. I'm sure others can relate. Healed people are fully devoted to Jesus. Right? Healed people are humble. And the great news, after talking about all this hurt, like Mary Magdalene, healed people are involved in helping heal other people. It's a wonderful, wonderful plan. And all of God's plans are perfect. You get to decide, though. It is a choice.
Yeah.
Will you stay hurt? Will you stay wounded? And I always say this, and please take this from the heart I'm trying to give you. I'm sorry. Even though I don't know most of you, I'm sorry for whatever happened. You are God's beloved child. You are a son, daughter of the Almighty Father. whatever happened to you is happening to you, it breaks God's heart. But at some point, we have to transition to, I need to help out of me, and it's my responsibility.
Yeah.
What happened to me is not my fault.
Mm-hmm.
But it's my responsibility to get the help I need because other people depend on me.
Yeah.
My family's dependent on me. My brothers and sisters are dependent on me. The lost are depending on all of us, right?
Yeah.
Love you guys. Thank you for letting me share. God be with you.
Amen.